Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website TrinityChapelVirginia.com. That's TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
Good morning. I welcome you on this Easter. I'm hoping there are a few more that are supposed to be here, but yeah, we know how it works. Glad to have everyone here today. And those that are watching that join with us each and every week. You know, about 70 to 80 right now watch every Sunday. So I'm thrilled about that. One of my tasks, I think, going forward, once I get past this week, and if everything works the way I believe it's supposed to work, and I have some good news, I'm going to spend more time really helping to develop this church. I just haven't had the physical ability or time of late, but I need to spend more time. And I'm finding it, and I'm going to make it happen. Couple of quick announcements, then I'm going to kind of talk about our service today just a little bit. My friend Ryan Underwood, who I had the privilege of ordaining to the ministry, is here with us today. And I'm going to have him help with the service. Nobody comes here that's a clergyman that doesn't get to do something. And so I'm going to have him help me today, which would be wonderful. Today, of course, is, this coming Friday, I've got to meet with somebody about a potential tower site for the radio station that I think will work just fine. I'm pretty sure we can make it happen. And so pray that I'm in good stead after my Tuesday surgery, that I'm recouped and ready to meet the guy on Friday. Well, today is Easter. Probably the most important holiday for Christians, even though a lot of people want to think it's Christmas because of the gifts. But there are some great gifts that come with Easter. Now, we'll do this twice real quick. In the early church, 1st, 2nd, 3rd century, when they would celebrate the resurrection of Jesus once a year, it was common for somebody to say, "He has risen." To say he has risen, and then the response would be, "He is risen indeed." Now, I'm going to do that once or twice in the service, and I'm going to probably catch you off guard. So we'll practice it once or twice. When I say he is risen, you reply, "He is risen indeed." This is how they greeted each other on Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I can't hear you. Heard that once in my life. One more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay, probably catch you a couple of times in the service today. Now, I got something else special going on here today. Let me see if I can. Easter, I think, is also a time for kids. Now, I was ready, but I got a little Easter gift for the little ones. This is from Lori and I, to the little ones. And I've got another set you can take back. So we got a couple of more. Happy Easter. I just couldn't let that go this year. And the reason is, as I was telling Ryan the other night, I know clergy within my former church bodies. The idea of having children to them, they don't have any. They got people older than me. And I'm probably about the oldest person here. But it thrills my soul to have young children here and to know that we have a mission and ministry for them. So I wanted them to have that as a little gift from Lori and I to remember today. Everything should be pretty easy to do in this service, communion. Everybody's invited. And like I say, Ryan will be helping out, so I'm putting him to work today, so he gets to do part of this. And I just have to worry about a couple of readings and preaching and sharing with you about what this day truly means. Now, I don't think I'm missing any. We have some beautiful cupcakes downstairs, so eat one or two or three. We've got plenty. And they're all for Easter in the same kind of colors as we have for our logo today. Is there anything else, hon, that I needed to mention? I don't think so. I think we got everything's in the bulletin. It's a happy Resurrection Sunday. And so I will say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Stand if you can as we sing our opening hymn. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, who through thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened unto us the grave of everlasting life, the gate of everlasting life. We humbly beseech thee that by the special grace preventing us, that thus we may bring the same to good effect through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated for the reading of today's lessons.
Here begins the 15th chapter of the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I, in turn, had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at once, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. May God bless to us the reading of his own infallible word. Amen.
Our gospel lesson is written in Mark chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, his mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. And entering the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white robe garment. And they were affrighted. And he said to them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you." And they went quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said anything to any man, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand if you can as we sing our sermon hymn.
I love that old till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. Left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will lay.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word, as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, I pray you're going to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. He is risen indeed. He is risen. Just making sure you remember. I don't get a chance to wear this vestment that often. It normally is reserved for when I do ordinations or special events, and I've got two different versions of this. And Christmas and Easter, maybe Pentecost, and that's about it. Otherwise, I just wear the regular stuff or even my sport jacket. So I kind of look forward to these special events like Christmas and Easter. They're big deals, but the world doesn't look at it as much of a big deal as it used to anymore. I noticed even going when we were shopping for a few things for the church, getting some stuff for downstairs and up here. Even in a, I'll just say, a Christian-friendly store, finding Christian Easter stuff was virtually impossible. It didn't exist. Everything is pulling away from the old rugged cross, the empty tomb, into something different. And I don't want to sound political, but even the White House is not acknowledging Easter this year. Today, just so you know, has been proclaimed transgender, basically, visibility day. Not Easter. No proclamation for Easter yesterday. No artwork depicting anything regarding the cross or the empty tomb. They were forbidden at our White House. I'm not saying that politically. This is something that is globally happening. As Christianity is being shoved off to the side. Generally speaking, in the past, the attendance on services for Easter and Christmas has been generally over the top. 20 years ago now, I can remember, 20 years ago, the Christmas just prior and the Easter. The Christmas service was literally overflowing. You couldn't find a seat in the church at 11 o'clock at night. We did a late Christmas Eve service, packed. No room at the inn, no room in the church. We had to bring chairs into the side aisles in the back. Easter was pretty much the same thing. Saw a lot of faces, a lot I didn't know, a lot I thought I recognized. I remember this one gentleman greets me at the end of the service and just said, "I really enjoy coming to this church. The message is great. Music, we had a nice organ. Music is wonderful. Only problem is you always sing the same hymns over and over again." And I'm looking at him. "Really?" He goes, Yeah. "Oh, come, oh, you faithful in Christ the Lord is risen today. That's all I've ever heard in this church." He only came twice a year. Maybe some other Sunday, but I don't remember. But a lot of people back then still have the guilt complex. "Yeah, I guess I better get to church and get it all covered for the year. Either Christmas or Easter, or if you really want a good insurance, both. Maybe this way you won't be a stranger when you go to somebody's wedding or a funeral." Today, we live in a world, and in preparing for the radio programs that I had to pre-record for this coming week, I ran into this article, and it was talking about the state of religion. I'll just use that as a big term, religion, in America today. And I think I've mentioned this before. 70% of the population, and that includes pretty much around this part of the world, 70% of the people around here do not go to any church on a regular basis. Rarely, if ever, generally that once or twice a year. 70%. Only 30% go on a somewhat or regular basis. And even then, the 30% is averaging twice a month, not even every Sunday. You're down to only 11% of the population around here that actually go to church every Sunday. And it's a scary proposition because that has changed dramatically in 20 years, where the number was almost flipped 30 years ago. That's how we have changed over time. It appears the message of the cross doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore. Last Sunday when I shared Palm Sunday, we talked about Jesus riding, coming into Jerusalem, fulfilling prophecy, riding on a donkey. "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And all the palms strewn, and even people threw their clothing out on the ground because he's royalty. What they wanted was earthly royalty, not kingdom royalty. And there's a difference. Jesus always said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But Even his some of his disciples were saying, yeah, whatever. So when are you going to be king of this world? When are you going to overthrow the Romans? When are we going to get out of slavery and bondage? This is where their mindset was. And they saw this guy come and do miracle after miracle after miracle. But all they wanted was the temporal of today. That's the problem. We have the temporal of today, and that's why people have divorced themselves from their faith. They don't care. And you have the mentality, well, maybe if I live a good life, I'll get to a better place. And that's where it ends for far too many people. Ryan and I were talking. He's been with us since Friday. He drove up from the big city of Brunswick, Georgia. How many hours was it? 7 hour drive?
About seven.
It's about 7 hours. God love him for doing it. I'm getting where I don't like to do more than 6 hours in a day. We were talking about the state of the church, and I'm thinking from the time that I went into ministry, from the time that I took a leave of absence and came back to ministry and where we are today. 30 years ago, I could have a little church in a tiny mill house in a small North Carolina town and fill it. I could have an old furniture store in a town in South Carolina and fill it. 20 years ago. Today, it's not as easy. People are just not as in tune. Their faith is in a box to take out just when we need it, but we don't want to be a slave to it in our minds. But instead, we allow ourselves to become slaves of this world. The cares, the concerns, the day-to-day problems, raising kids, paying taxes, having a job, the ever-increasing prices of everything. This is nothing new. This has been going on my entire lifetime. We can say it's new. We've been on a steady, you know, it gets worse sometimes than others. I know that when I technically retired, I'm watching how our income is getting smaller and smaller compared to just the day-to-day bills that come each month. And we're not buying anything different anymore. So I get it. I understand it. To me, personally, I know there have been times that I have not clinged to the old rugged cross. I know there are times that I have ignored the call that Jesus Christ put on my life. I know there are times that I've come up really short. Even after I was ordained into the ministry. Doesn't mean just because someone lays hands upon you to preach, doesn't mean that you are suddenly exempt from all the cares and concerns of the world. Mark, I know you can. You and I could probably spend an hour or two or 20 talking about the fun of ministry and how everybody loves you and no one ever abuses you or takes advantage of you. And Ryan, you're going to learn what I have learned and others before you. Those that were here a few Sundays ago when I had the ordination of Nathan, and I reminded him, you know, you're about to discover the underbelly of the church. The part of the church that has forgotten the power of the resurrection and looks to the power of their own mental processes and humanistic goals and achievements, the things that they want for themselves. Today we celebrate something that history is trying to bury. They tried to bury Jesus 2,000 years ago. And as we heard in our gospel lesson today, and as I shared last week a little bit, kind of alluding into today, we read the words. And they put Jesus' body in the tomb, and then they said to Pilate, and they said, you know, hey, you know, the deceivers will say that he rose from the dead, so we need to make sure that he's in that thing for over 3 days. And so Pilate, just to shut him up, posted a guard at the entrance to the tomb. And I can envision in myself, you know, the campfires at night, hanging around, you know, waiting for the 3 days, easy duty, just going to have a bunch of us out here to make sure that nobody tries to steal the body and say that he rose. And they're probably thinking, what did I do wrong to get stuck with this duty to have to hang out here for 3 days? And I told you that these people that the Romans had, these were not Italian guys. These were brutal Huns from up around Germany. They paid an army because they were too busy enjoying being rulers. And so they had a paid army. And these guys would think nothing about dropping you dead just because you don't look good to them. And they also knew, as Roman soldiers being well paid in silver for their services, if they fail, they might be finding themselves on a cross for failure. Failure is not an option to the Roman army. You either succeed or you die. We give you a job, you don't, you know, you just don't say we couldn't do it. No, you are to do it. And so these soldiers also knew, if anything goes wrong and that body gets gone, we could be basically killed. And they arrive at the tomb. And this is what has always stood out to me. They arrive at the tomb and they're expecting to see the guards. And they're hoping the guards will, someone will help roll the stone. We're now at three. We should be long enough now. And their concern on their journey is, how are we going to get that big stone moved? They get there and the stone is rolled away. The guards are nowhere to be seen. And they, what happened? And they walk into this hewned out tomb, and I can imagine they have something that they can see, and there's this guy in a white robe. Are you looking for Jesus? He's not here. He is risen. He'll catch up with you in Galilee. So tell everybody. Have a nice day. How would you react if that happened to you? I mean, that's the only way I can put it. This, put that in your mind. You are expecting to find a dead body that you want to preserve with spices, and you are dreading the smell of death, to be quite blunt. And the stone is rolled away, he is gone, and there's somebody in a white robe saying, oh, he's not here. Come back some other time. He'll catch up with you. Don't call us, we'll call you. And the doubters, all of it, we'll talk about it in the weeks to come. St. Paul summarizes it so well. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. Without the resurrection, we are the most hopeless of all mankind, of all creatures, of all anything. We have nothing. If the resurrection is a lie, then we are liars and we are hopeless. I'm amazed at how many church bodies are beginning to question and challenge the resurrection, and they claim to be followers of Christ. Are they following a dead Christ and a philosophy? Then they have no hope. Book of Revelation, they have no lampstand. They have no nothing. They're not even a church. The church is the living body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out. And the only reason we can be called out and empowered and have anything of viability is because of what we're celebrating today. Final thought. In a few moments, we will gather around the Lord's table. And before Jesus was taken away, before Caiaphas and then Pilate and then scourged, beaten, mocked by those same kind of Roman soldiers, they didn't care. They didn't care how much pain they inflicted. They had no conscience. It had been seared and burned so long ago. They were enjoying it. They were enjoying hurting somebody, tormenting him, whipping him, just ripping his flesh off. They thought nothing about driving nails in his hands. They thought nothing about mocking him and putting him up there. And yeah, King of the Jews, look at this guy. See, there's your king. Their conscience burned the hordes of hell rejoicing on that day. And I'm not sure if Satan understood what was about to happen at times. I really don't. Sometimes I wonder. Did he know? Did he know that he would rise again and conquer death? But on that night, he gathered with his disciples and he gave them the bread and the cup. And he told them, I will not drink this with you until we drink it anew in the kingdom. But he said, but you continue to do this in remembrance of me. Early church did it quite frequently. There's a reason we're given these gifts. We may not understand it, but there's a purpose. Today, a world that on that Friday, if you accept Friday as the day or whatever, I mean, you can, I don't worry about those things. He died. If you were there when they crucified my Lord, you saw him die. You saw that body come down. You saw that lifeless body put into a tomb. And no, he wasn't just knocked out. He had blood drained out of him. He had been for hours just bleeding to death on a cross where he was asphyxiated. He died. And all hope was gone. But just like in this lesson, and just like something that Mark Holmes is about to share in just a moment, then came that morning. Then came that hope. Hope was gone. Hope was gone as he went into the tomb. And hope was restored when he rose victoriously from the grave. Father, I thank you for this time that we have gathered to hear what you have to say for us. Give us the joy that the disciples finally had when they realized he has risen and he has come back. And as St. Paul reminds us, we now, for the first time, we have that hope because morning has come and there was an empty tomb. Amen.
So long. Then came
you, Mark. Before we get ready to pray, you're seeing the altar a little bit different than you've seen me do it before. And I and Ryan and I were talking yesterday, and if you go back to early American history, churches in Virginia, probably in the 1700s, this is how they did communion at a table. And so in many ways, we're bringing back a little bit of almost 200-year-old, over 200-year-old history here today. And so I hand the service over for prayer and communion to Ryan.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you keep your promise and delivered up your only Son to be our Savior. By his sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven, and by his rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout the Easter season and all our daily lives. Let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. King of the earth, we pray for our leaders in our national, state, and local governments. Give them divine wisdom to lead and serve. We pray that all will serve and revere you in their words and actions. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Have mercy on the sick and those in any need. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar. In the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith, overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life. So it may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise your holy name, O Lord, for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We pray that you will not abandon us to Sheol, but that when we awake in the resurrection of all flesh, your presence will give us joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we ask you of your forgiveness by the merits of your Son for the sins we have committed by thought, word, and deed, for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. Lord, grant us your grace and hear our prayer. And Father, today we join in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enthroned in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we now approach your table, we lift up our hearts unto you, as it is meet and right so to do. And we praise you with the angels and archangels, who sing, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you on high. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of your tender mercy did give your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself, once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech you, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand, ponder nothing earthly-minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God.
Ever-living God, we most heartily thank you that you have vouchsafed to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of your favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of your Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, are also heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom, by merits of the most precious death and passion of your dear Son, and we most humbly beseech you, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with your grace, we may continue in your holy fellowship, and do all such good works as you have prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
Stand if you can as we sing our closing hymn. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always, now and forever. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Depart in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness.
You've been listening to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That is trinitychapelvirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.